And good to have each and every one of you here today. And we welcome you to the middle of Vacation Bible School. And so we had a great time last week with the shepherds and a great Bible school. They had a wonderful time. And I thought, and I'm not sure about this, but I thought one trusted Christ as Savior. I thought we had one saved. Seems like I heard that. But anyway, it was great. And this week we'll begin our children's Vacation Bible School. Of course, you see the theme, the Gold Rush, Wild, Wild West, VBS, and actually beautiful background and everything. Several folks involved in putting all that together, and that was a blessing, and they worked very, very hard, and we've had a great week. I do want to encourage you, if you have children, grandchildren, or others, to encourage them not to run on the road. The road right there, because it looks like a road, and it gives all appearance of a road, and we want people to think it's a road, but it's not a road. Just thought I'd tell you that. Because actually I had a couple shepherds say they wanted to go walk up to the baptistry, and I said, no, it doesn't work quite like that. So anyway, but isn't that great, though? They did a great job, and the Gospel Gunfighter says that he's very pleased with everything. And he's excited, so I hope you are as well. It's good to have the Wongs with us in our Sunday school class, Alfred and Rosa. And they are moved now and living here in a rental, temporary, I assume, here on Maumee Street. But they're doing very well and getting unpacked and just great folks. They taught me a little Chinese. Not enough yet to be dangerous like I am with Spanish, but they've taught us a little bit of Chinese, and so we're excited about that. But they do speak English, but I feel like I need to slow down, but I can't. I just do what I do. And anyway, make sure you meet them. They are good folks, and we're excited about them being here. And do you see things like this in Lexington? Did they do it? No. No, I didn't think they would. But anyway, it's different. So praise the Lord. We like to be a little different, right? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And were you trying to play the organ in the jail? You're going to be in jail? All right. Praise the Lord. We'll have to remind me to make a comment about that.
No, that's okay.
That's all right. All right, very good. The bank and the jail. Yes. How do they work together? It's amazing. All right, let's move on in Revelation. We are in lesson 23. If you need lesson 23, raise your hand, and we will get that for you. Lesson 23. Does it seem warm to anyone besides me? Perry thinks it's warm. How many of you think it's just right? Oh, all right. The just right habit. I will sweat. I don't know. It's probably this is blocking. Well, I don't think it's blocking anything, but anyway. Well, it could be it. It could be because it's a desert. You notice the cacti. Never mind. All right. Some of you have to get a glorified imagination. All right. Let's work on that for the week. Amen. All right. By the way, tonight will be a quality DVD presentation to get you excited about Vacation Bible School. So, and it may change your life. Well, it's a tough crowd today. It's like, anyway, all right. And if you're expecting the Gospel Gunfighter to come out, he will not. He's very busy in his ministries. Yeah, you can't expect him. So don't think he's going to pop out or anything. All right, we're in Revelation, so don't be afraid. I know it's scary. We're talking about the ministry of the two, Roman numeral 3. But let's go ahead and do our memory verse, all right? And that is Revelation 11:15. We should get through this lesson today and get into lesson 24. And by the way, does anyone need lesson 24? I think you've passed those out, haven't you, Brother Collins? Yeah, so those have been going out the last couple weeks. I had them done, so very good. All right, let's do our memory verse, Revelation 11:15, And we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 11:15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. And again, Revelation 11:15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. Thank you, Father, for the time we can spend. I pray that it will be profitable to each and every one of us, that we'll learn from thy word, and Lord, that you'll show us some things we didn't know before. Please challenge us. Challenge us to have our lives be pleasing to you in everything, and we do get excited thinking about the end times, and yet we're a little saddened because there are many, many folks who are without Christ. So please help us to do our part. Challenge us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started with Revelation 10, the message of the truth. We went to the measuring of the temple in number 2, and we are on number 3 now, the ministry of the two. We've spent quite a bit of time on that because of the idea of who the two are. And Elijah and Enoch, or Elijah and Moses, seem to be the most popular choices. And I personally believe it's Elijah and Enoch, and many others believe Elijah and Moses. And the truth of the matter is, we just don't know. So as long as we can come to the conclusion God doesn't say who it is, we're going to get along just fine. We're going to do fine. And that is the only conclusion we can come to, since he doesn't say. Amen. So anyway, it is kind of exciting. It's one of the little things to study in the Bible and to try to understand, try to get all these things down. Another thing is a timeline. The timeline of the tribulation is one of the things. You can go to different commentators and you know, they'll have this here and that here. And again, there is an area that we just can't, you know, you can't be definitive. You don't, you know, it's just not something we can say this is definitely how this is. We do know that the tribulation is split in half, 3.5 years. We know that is given in the book of Daniel, and so and that period of time is also given in reference to these two preachers. Now, again, we know these are prophets. We know these men. These are men of God, and we know that they preach. They do amazing things during this time. I personally believe this is the first part of the tribulation. And so again, as we think about the things that are that we've talked about, the next event to take place would be the rapture of God's people, the church, the Christians, the saved people. He will rapture them. They will be taken out. If that were to take place today, all who are saved would be gone. The building would be empty, we hope, and everybody would be gone. And so, and then that begins 7 years of tribulation. And so I believe that in that 7 year, that first part, these two witnesses will be preaching, and there will be 144,000 that will be saved and discipled, and they will go out and preach and spread the word of God as well. And so I think this takes place in the first part, and they preach, they do miraculous things. When the soldiers and the people that are against them, when they come to put them in jail or try to stop them, the Bible says that fire will come out of their mouth, and they will destroy anyone who tries to hurt them. Again, you know, this is an amazing thing. It is something for the tribulation time. And so because of all that, because of their preaching, because of their the ministry, the type of ministry that they have, They obviously are not going to be loved by many, and the world is going to hate them. But the world hates us. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And the world hated Jesus. We cannot do our, make it a big thing to try to get the world to love us, because it is not going to love. It does not love our Savior. Okay, we should be kind. We should be loving. We should be honest. We should be good Christians in everything we say and do. But we cannot focus our ministry on, well, we need to please the world. That we're never. If we preach Jesus, we cannot please the world. You've got to understand that. It is not, it'd be totally a waste of time and effort to try to get the world to love us. Especially if we're going to push aside what we believe and the things of God. So, these two preach the Word of God, and the Bible says that finally, after the 3.5 years, after that period of time, the Bible says that, verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Again, that's Revelation 11, 7, and they will die. Okay? So they, when their ministry, when it's finished, and I want to remind you, nobody goes until God says it's finished. Jesus didn't die on the cross until it was finished. He wasn't. It wasn't finished until it is finished. The sacrifice, the price was paid. It was finished. Okay, and it's not going to happen until it is finished. And we need to understand that. It's very important in our own life. That's not going to change. You say, "Well, I just found out that I'm very sick, and I have this, and I have then." But again, nothing is going to happen to you until God says it's time. Just like these two witnesses, and so these two witnesses, they die. And the thing we ended with last week is the idea that they, verse 9, they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And again, I believe there will be an association with the plagues that are going on. We talked about the seal judgments taking place in the beginning, in the first half of the tribulation, the trumpet judgments taking place, and I believe there will be an association there with those two witnesses, and they're getting blamed at least for those kind of things, just like Christians get blamed often for things that go on that, again, no reason to blame Christians. So, we ended last week with this celebration. This celebration that is taking place at the death of these two prophets. And people are giving gifts to each other. They're kind of like Christmas. They're having parties. They're celebrating. Yay! The two preachers are dead. Oh, boy. And it's like they're very happy about that. Again, we are seeing that kind of thinking in our world today, where Christians are annoying people. Now again, we should not be annoying, but our message is still the message of the Word of God, and that message does annoy people. Thank God it annoyed me. Thank God I got irritated. The first time I heard the gospel, I was irritated. I was disturbed, if you will. It messed up my thinking. I thought, I never thought about how I needed to be saved. I never thought about my sin. I never thought about those things. The message of the gospel, it does stir things up. It doesn't let things just sit still. Amen. That's what we need to do. That's what our Vacation Bible School is all about. We don't go to all this trouble simply to say, oh, we did it. We go to all the trouble because we want to stir things up in the hearts and lives of people. And so everything we do is designed to do that. These two witnesses, certainly it's the same way. And there are three greats that are mentioned here that I wanted to look at. Three great things that take place where the word great is used. Verse 11, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. So now for 3.5 days, their bodies have been laying dead in the street. And then after 3.5 days, the Bible says that the Spirit of life from God enters and they stand up. Now again, everybody's watching. Everybody's celebrating. They're all so excited. These two witnesses, these two prophets are dead. Everybody's all excited. And now they stand upon their feet. And it says, great fear fell upon them which saw them. So you have to understand, there are many people watching. Again, they kept their bodies in the street. This is a huge celebration. And life now comes back into these bodies. And it causes great fear. They have a physical and a visible resurrection that all see. And it causes great fear. Again, you know, we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would think everybody'd be excited. And yet, what has happened to Easter? You know, the world doesn't even, I mean, now it's all about the Easter bunny. I don't know if you knew this or not, but bunnies don't lay eggs. I mean, we have gone so far away from what the true story of the resurrection is. We've gone totally out of the realm. I mean, even when I was a child, my family didn't go to church, and when, you know, Easter to us was getting an Easter basket and all kinds of candy. And that was back in the late 60s. So, you know, again, we're so far removed, even more so now, that don't tell me about a resurrection. I don't want to hear that. Well, imagine when these two witnesses are resurrected. I mean, it's just going to be, it's great fear that takes place here. They cannot, again, they can't grasp what is going on. And then verse 12, it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Who? The two witnesses, they hear it saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And so there's not only great fear, but now there's this great voice, come up hither. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Again, you know, here's people that hated these two witnesses. They hated these two preachers. They thought they were dead. Can you imagine Satan when you know, Jesus hung on the cross? And the demons of hell laughing at the Son of God hanging on a cross. I mean, honestly. But then up from the grave he arose. And you have to understand, you know, when we start talking about, well, I was born again. I'm a new creature. I'm not what I was. And people just, you think everybody ought to be excited about that. You would think all my old friends would be thrilled that I got saved. Boy, they weren't. They weren't. And again, this idea of you know, these two witnesses, now not only have they stood up, not only are they not dead, but now there's a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they're going to be gone. They go. A great voice. And so the result of that, verse 13, the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And so we had great fear, we had a great voice, and now we have this great earthquake there in Jerusalem. and 1/10 of the city is destroyed. 7,000 die. It's a great earthquake. It's a massive earthquake. Again, I want to remind you that scientists will tell you about the plates and how the plates shift and all that kind of stuff. And I don't necessarily doubt that. But God, the Bible says, He shakes the earth. God's in control of all of those things. God's in control as He's in control of the whirlwind, the tornadoes, the clouds are the dust of His feet. It's not just a random earthquake here. It's our God. Could be the result of His voice saying, come up hither. I'm just saying the thing we have to understand, please follow all the way through the tribulation. God's in control. You may be going through tribulation today. God's in control. You know, you say, yeah, but I it doesn't look good. But from your point of view, it may not look good. But from His point of view, which He sees everything, you know, He is in control. And we have to understand that. Again, the ministry of the two, it's an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture, I think. And the tribulation time isn't just something that happens. It is something that has been led up to. And I started with that as far as these two men. You know, we all watch and we think, why is there so much persecution? Again, we're not seeing anything compared to other countries. But in other countries, Christians are going through terrible times. You say, well, I don't hear it on the news. You won't. You're not going to hear it on the news. You're not going to hear what really is going on. You're not going to hear about Christians going through tough times in the United States on the regular news because they don't want to talk about that. We are fast becoming the persecuted, but so what? Right? It's okay. I'm not asking for it. I don't want persecution. I honestly want everybody to love me. I told Brother Stewart that just recently. I said, you know what? I want, that's what we want. That's our nature. But I'm going to keep preaching the truth. And Antichrist thinking people are not, they're never going to accept that. The anti-God, anti-Christ type people in our world will never accept that. And there are more and more of that going in our world. Our education system is based on secular humanism. As far as our public education, it's secular humanism. And as long as it's secular, you know, that's the worship of man. And the worship of man has no place for worshiping God. And by the way, it's been years since they took God out of the public schools. Remember? Based on whatever. We can celebrate everything, but instead of at Christmas time talking about the birth of Jesus, not allowed to talk about that. We can talk about Frosty. We can talk about Santa Claus. We can talk about everything else, but you can't talk about that little baby in the manger. You can have a week celebrating Ramadan and all these other religious. You can do all that kind of stuff, but you don't. Talk about that baby in the manger. That's offensive. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's going to get worse, according to my Bible. And again, you say, oh, I'm nervous about that. Remember this. God is in control. He always is in control. And so it goes on and it says in verse 13, the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Remnant here, is that talking about the remnant that we'll talk about in the next chapter? I don't think so. I think it just means those who are still alive, the remaining Jews in the city. They're afraid, but they give glory to the God of heaven. We have to believe some would trust Christ, some would be saved during that time. Don't necessarily know that, but I think that anyway. And according to timing here, I always make little notes of timing. Verse 14 says, the second woe is past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And that it seems to refer back to that sixth trumpet. Again, you cannot read Revelation and put it in a sequence of time because it gives us different bits and pieces about different times. It seems to anyway. And the second woe is past. Now we're waiting on the third woe. It comes, the Bible says, cometh quickly at this point. And that, of course, we believe is the seventh trumpet, which is actually seven more judgments called the bowl or the vial judgments. Those seven judgments are very, very close now, at least when this takes place. They are coming, okay? It is coming. And again, time, we don't, there's just no way to know that. Verse 15, because now we seem to be jumping right into, jumping right into the seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And that moves into Roman numeral 4, the mystery of the times. And of course, I've run out of time, and I need our ushers to come, and we'll collect an offering for our class. They can do that. I'm gonna go on, though, cover a couple things here. We did not finish this lesson, and we have to blame something, so we'll blame the Western town. Everything's a little slower in the West. Amen. The mystery of the times. What is that? Well, first of all, it started with an M, and mystery, and then time started with a T, so it went real well with my outline, but that isn't why I did that. So, talks about the seventh angel sounding a trumpet. We go back to Revelation 10 and verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. There it is, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So this is getting very close to the end, very close to fulfillment of this mystery proclamation. Soon, the Lord Jesus will take over the kingdoms as the rightful ruler. Very, very soon is the whole idea here. There is a twofold reaction found in verses 16 and 17 and 18 that I think are significant. First of all, again, the reaction to Christ taking over the kingdoms as the rightful ruler. What is the reaction? Verse 16, the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Okay, so they are worshiping. The heavens rejoice. You know, Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he has come to rule and reign, which is what the book of Revelation is about. And so they're excited about that. They're rejoicing and praising the Lord. But verse 18, the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Okay, all of that is coming. And that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. So the nations, they're angry. You know, again, we go back to humanism. Man, anytime man starts thinking that I deserve this, we got trouble. We have serious trouble. Well, I deserve. This is what I deserve. You know, this is that. Well, I'm a human being, and I deserve. Let's go back. You know, we deserve punishment for our sin. That is what we deserve. Okay, and there is no way around that. The law has proven we're guilty. We broke the law, period. And, you know, we anything we get above hell is a bonus. Okay, humanism is completely opposite of that. And so mankind, after all these, you know, from the beginning of time, which was not billions and billions of years ago, Not as far as time of the earth. It was 6,000 to 7,000 years ago. That's it. Okay, so from the beginning of this world and the beginning of mankind, man has been doing all they can to take everything for themselves. From Nimrod in Genesis, you know, to puny leaders today, you know, Hitler and mankind, you know, we're going to conquer the world. We're going to take over the world. We're going to, you know, it's been going that way. So wouldn't it only make sense as Jesus comes to rule and reign the nations? It would only make sense that the people of the nations would not be happy about that. You go soul winning and you say, you know, basically we're giving the gospel out, but the idea is to give Jesus your heart. If man won't give his heart, won't give himself so he can be saved, if man won't do that, they're certainly not going to give up the nations, right? So it only makes sense. They're going to be angry and very, very upset. So we close with the heavens rejoicing and the nations are angry. And the consummation of the ages and the explanation of all is about to take place. And so we'll begin there next week. I'm sorry, we'll begin there in 2 weeks because next week I'll be with the shepherds and Brother Hawkins will be teaching. So we look forward to that. So anyway, praise the Lord. I do apologize we didn't get as far, but we're really not in a hurry, are we? Because we've already said that if the rapture takes place, we'll let Jesus finish teaching this to us in heaven. And he can go ahead and take several thousand years. Maybe we'll pause every now and then, go fishing. Pause every now and then, take a dip in my chocolate pond that is ever flowing. You're still not going to swim. It's a tough bunch, I'm telling you.